Hi, I'm Laura Kanoy, host of The Exchange. NHPR's Exchange is a lot more than what you hear on the radio. This podcast helps you listen to The Exchange whenever, wherever it's convenient for you. So these digital services are free for you, but they cost us money. Giving is easy to do, though. You can help out at nhpr.org or just follow the link right there in the show notes. And thanks.
Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
Invest in You, a local New Hampshire nonprofit providing college student loans and student refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Laura Kanoy. It's our Race for the First series. Each Monday, we're talking with one of the many candidates running for New Hampshire's first congressional district. And let's hear from you, especially if you live in the first district. Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or give us a call 1-800-892-6477. You can also watch these interviews on Facebook Live. Our candidate today is Democrat Chris Pappas, an executive counselor from Manchester, former state representative and co-owner of the Puritan Backroom Restaurant. And Councillor Pappas, welcome. It's great to have you.
Thanks. Good morning. Good to be here with you.
Well, we've been asking all the candidates this, so I'll ask you first as well. Give us your basic 30-second elevator speech on why First District voters should choose you.
Yeah. I don't want to believe that what we're seeing in Washington today, the tone and the work product out of Congress, is as good as it's going to get for the people of New Hampshire. And I'm someone who has served in a number of capacities. I've taken on the big fights as a member of the Executive Council, whether it's fighting for women's health or Medicaid expansion. I'm a local business owner, lifelong resident of the Granite State. And I want to put my understanding of New Hampshire values to work for the people of this state as their representative in Congress.
In your campaign video, you talk a lot about your great-grandparents, Chris, coming from Greece to pursue a better life for their family. There's beautiful footage of them, you know, working hard. And in the video, you say, for everyone who works hard in life and plays by the rules, we have to make the American dream a realistic possibility for every man, woman, and child who reaches for it. So that's a very big, dramatic statement. How do you do that, Chris? How do you do that specifically?
I think what we're facing right now is an economy that's leaving too many people behind. We have a system that is awash in big money, where special interests have their say, but middle-class families don't always have a voice and a seat at the table. Over my lifetime, we've seen CEO pay increase over 800%, while wages for average workers have barely budged. And so I think we need to make sure that middle-class families and individuals are able to live the American dream and live that basic bargain that this country has represented for a long period of time. And that means raising wages, providing affordable health insurance, ensuring that higher education is affordable, ensuring that we have a paid system of leave from work so that people don't have to choose between taking care of themselves or a sick relative and losing out on a day's work. And I think if we push policies that are going to positively impact the income and the well-being of middle-class families, our economy is going to grow as a result, and we're going to be stronger as a nation.
So you mentioned wages, so let's talk about that. You're a small business owner, have been for a long time. From that vantage point, Councillor Pappas, what's your feeling about the minimum wage?
Well, I think that businesses need to invest in their workforce. And when I travel around the state right now, the top concern from local businesses is not my taxes are too high or I'm overly regulated. It's where are my next workers going to come from and how are we going to attract the young talent that we need here in New Hampshire? We're at a competitive disadvantage to our neighbors, and we're losing out on high school graduates.
In terms of the minimum wage, is that what you mean?
In terms of wages, yeah, in terms of what people are able to offer workers. And I think that as a state, the minimum wage has been $7.25. We've defaulted to the federal level now. It hasn't increased in 10 years. It's time for that to go up. So I absolutely would support an increase and support tying it to inflation so that workers don't have to wait around till there's a supportive Congress in order to get a cost of living adjustment in the future.
So how much, Councillor Pappas?
Well, I would support going to $12 now. I know there's a lot of talk about $15, and I think that's a worthy target. But I think we need to phase that in over time so that it makes sense for our local businesses.
How much do you pay starting workers at the Puritan?
Well, it varies depending on where they are, where they start out. We have a lot of high school students who are working their first job. On average, folks that work in our kitchen make over $15 an hour. Our wait staff generally earn between, $25 and $35 an hour based on the tipped income that they earn. So we're always focused on what we can do to ensure that people can earn a good good wage. And we also provide for paid leave. We provide health insurance, and we've done that well before we were required to do so by the Affordable Care Act. And so I think that as a state, as a nation, we need to look at the full package that individuals are offered in the workplace to make sure that they can get by and that if they're working full time, they can provide for their families.
Well, it's interesting to hear you talk about the minimum wage and how much you pay it. The Puritan doesn't sound like you pay anybody minimum wage.
No.
Because we've talked with small business owners who say, hey, don't force us to increase our wages. We'll figure it out. If we have to increase our wages too much, that'll lead to higher prices for our products. In your case, higher prices on your menus. Also, that if minimum wage workers make more, employers have to bump up everybody's salary, making their overall costs go up, perhaps unsustainably. So I just wonder what you think about that. Given your political experience, but also your experience as a small business guy.
Yeah, I think that an increase can be sustained by businesses given the current economic climate. And I think that we're seeing upward pressure on wages without government acting right now.
So is that the way to do it? That's what they would argue. You know, let's let
well,
the private sector
decide. I think the market is responding, but I don't think they're responding as quickly as it needs to take care of the needs of workers out there. And that's why the government needs to step in and increase it.
I want to ask you something, Councilor Pappas, that is pretty hot right now, and that's immigration. As you know, big debate in Congress going on, moderate Republicans wondering which way to go. You talk a lot in your campaign literature about your immigrant background, the idea of making the American dream reality for those who play by the rules. What about people, though, Councilor Pappas, who don't come here by the rules, quote unquote, coming here illegally? What type of immigration approach would you support towards those people?
Well, I think we shouldn't be using immigrants. We shouldn't be using dreamers as political pawns, which is what we've seen in Washington in the past several years, where they get tied up into the budget debate, and we don't respect the dignity of the individuals that are here in this country, that are contributing, that are our friends and neighbors and classmates and coworkers. So I think that we need a pathway to citizenship to bring folks
Dreamers or for all illegal immigrants?
For dreamers and for those individuals that are living in the shadows, who are contributing, and who can be a part of the heart and soul of what this country has long offered. We employ several refugees at our restaurant. We have new Americans. I've helped people study for their citizenship test. And I think that as Americans, we do better when we bring more people into what this country means, and we have a stronger future when we're a beacon of hope for troubled people from around the world.
So a pathway for everyone here illegally, not just the dreamers who are kind of a popular group right now.
Yeah, and I think what we've seen with respect to certain communities is that there's great uncertainty right now. There's an Indonesian community here where our federal delegation has had to step up and fight to make sure that they can stay here and not get sent back to a place where they might be discriminated against because of their religion, because of their faith. New Hampshire is a place that has long welcomed immigrants. We thrive because of those that have come here over the years to work, to be a part of our industrial heritage. And I think in the future, a strong system of immigration, legal immigration, is going to be what helps our economy grow.
So I just want to ask you one more question on this, because if you are in Congress, this is definitely something that you'll mm-hmm. be facing. So that pathway, Councilor Pappas, I mean, a lot of people, conservatives and liberals, say, sure, a pathway to citizenship. But for some, that means, meantime, you have to go back to your country of origin and do it, quote unquote, the right way, apply from your country of origin. And then others would say, no, that's too dangerous, and they're here already, and so forth. So what does that pathway look like for you?
I think it doesn't involve sending people back to a country where someone's life or security is at risk. I have several immigrants and new Americans who work for me who are from El Salvador. And the fact that the protective status for Salvadoran Americans has been pulled back, and they might be sent back to a place where there's gang activity, where safety and security is a serious issue, that's not an American value, or not one that I ascribe to. And so I think that we need to make sure that people are safe and can participate in what this country has to offer. And those that are here, not committing crimes, who are contributing to the future of this country, we should give them the opportunity to become full-fledged American citizens.
I want to remind our listeners that you can join us as we talk with Executive Counselor and First District Democratic candidate Chris Pappas. It's our Race for the First series here on The Exchange, where we sit down every Monday with one of the many candidates running in that wide open First District seat. So let's hear from you. The number is 1-800-892-6477. You can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And Councilor Pappas, Fred emails. He says, will Chris sign on as a co-sponsor of H.R. 676, the Expanded and Improved Medicare for All Act. And I'm guessing that's basically universal health care.
Well, I support health care for all, and that's why, as a business owner, we've provided coverage for a long period of time. I support the Medicare Choice Act, which would create a Part E for everyone, meaning that individuals and businesses could buy into the Medicare program for coverage.
Anybody, no matter what the age.
That's right. And I think that that's a bill that's sponsored by Jeff Merkley and Chris Murphy, and I think is a way to show that, allow people to vote with their feet and choose that program, which I think is one that a lot more people would like to participate in. So I think right now we've got to focus on the fact that the Affordable Care Act is under assault on a nearly daily basis. There are those in Congress and the president who wants to repeal that act outright, which would jeopardize the coverage that tens of millions of Americans enjoy. So we've got to protect the care that people currently have. We've got to work to make it more affordable. We've got to adjust the issue with the high cost of prescription drugs, which is a huge driver in the healthcare market. But beyond that, I want to look for ways to make sure that everyone is covered.
So, in terms of this Medicare for all, you're saying good idea. Let's do it.
Well, I think it's a good viable solution, and it's something that I would want to investigate more as a member of Congress.
Well, thank you, Fred, for the email. And again, you can email us exchange@nhpr.org. A health-related issue, Councillor Pappas, that I really did want to ask you about is New Hampshire's opioid crisis, something I know you're very familiar with. Several of the state's treatment centers, again, as you know, have been struggling, even when so many people need treatment. How much were you keeping an eye on this as an executive counselor, Serenity Place and the struggles of other places? It's the council's job to approve state contracts, so I'm just wondering how closely you were watching this.
Very closely. And what I have seen as an executive counselor and now as a candidate for Congress is that we have a very fragile network of treatment and recovery opportunities around this state. They are held together with bake sales and donations from businesses, but they don't receive the stable amount of funding that they need from the federal government to ensure that they can subsist well into the future. When someone is in recovery, they're there for a lifetime. And what we saw in Manchester with Serenity Place was that that organization was completely overwhelmed by the Safe Station program and the number of people that were trying to access treatment through the fire stations in Manchester. So right now, we don't have enough access points. There's not enough capacity in the system. And there's not that sort of guarantee over time that the funding's going to be there so that we have some stability. So I'm concerned, I guess, when I go to more rural parts of New Hampshire and see that there aren't the opportunities that maybe people have in the Manchester area to access care. And I think that we need more than lip service out of Washington, D.C. We need a stable funding stream, and that's something our delegation's been fighting for and something I want to continue to fight for.
Well, and more money is coming in from the state and the federal government,
that's
as
right.
I know you know. So how closely, as an executive counselor now, are you going to be watching those contracts that you guys sign off on to say, yes, treatment provider A, you've got the contract, no, treatment provider B, you don't seem to quite have your financing together?
We've been watching it very closely. And one of the things that I've been asking for has been our Department of Health and Human Services to provide the tools to these organizations that they need to be able to get a good idea off the ground. Because a lot of times we see across New Hampshire, there are people that step forward that want to open a recovery center, but they don't necessarily have the knowledge of governance or financial issues to be able to make it work. So we need to provide individuals who have, you know, the drive to do this with the tools they need to make something successful.
A human, basically.
Yeah, and I think we also need to be measuring outcomes as well. And that's something that I think we're not doing a good enough job at to ensure that we're putting our money in the right place. There was a rush 2 or 3 years ago to get funding out on the street to make sure we could grow the network. But right now, I think we're at a point where things are a bit more mature, and we need to be making sure we're making the best investments we can with the limited dollars that we have.
Did the executive council play a role in that sort of rush to get money out onto the street?
Yes. Well, we were involved, you know, over the last several years in ensuring that organizations, you know, like Serenity Place got the funding that they needed to, you know, provide access to thousands of individuals in our state. I mean, don't forget that we're experiencing this crisis worse than just about any other state in the country in terms of the number of overdose deaths that we're seeing in our communities. It is impacting just about every family that I talk to. including my own. And so I think we need to understand that there's a huge human toll to this. It intersects with our economy, with workforce issues, and with our way of life here in New Hampshire. And we can't accept the status quo on this. We've got to continue to improve outcomes.
I want to talk to you a little bit, Councilor Pappas, about gun control, or what you call on your website gun safety. Why the word choice?
Well, I think it is an issue of public safety. It's a public health issue, too. And we lose 38,000 individuals in this country to acts of gun violence every year. That is not good enough. We need action out of Congress, and we've seen tragedy after tragedy without Congress voting on any kind of legislation that could help save lives and keep our communities safe. I would start with universal background checks, and I think we also need to reinstate the assault weapons ban so that we don't have dangerous weapons like AR-15s, which have been used in so many of these school shootings, floating around on our streets and accessible to those who would do harm.
So background checks, boy, and we've done whole hours just on that
sure.
issue alone. How well does New Hampshire do, Councilor Pappas, in terms of submitting names to the federal National Instant Criminal Background Check System, which most people have heard of as NICS?
Sure. I think the system needs to be improved. And we've seen, you know, in Texas very recently, a tragedy where the data didn't get into the system in a way that it might have prevented an individual from purchasing weapons. So I think we absolutely need a national look at this. And there needs to be more resources that are provided for the background check system so that we plug holes that are currently existing, but I think we also need to look at, gun shows and other ways that people can procure weapons without going through the check system.
Does New Hampshire have some of the holes in terms of how or what it submits to this NICS?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've talked with the Department of Safety on this. I feel good about, where New Hampshire stands today, but there's always the potential for something to slip through the cracks. And so I think that we need to continue to look at this over time.
And if elected to Congress, I think you said you support universal red flag laws for every state?
I would support a federal red flag law, because I think that there is an opportunity for families and the judicial system to intervene at a point where it's very clear that someone's going to do harm to themselves or to those around them. And this could provide potentially a way to prevent a mass shooting from happening.
Well, here's an email that came in from Alex in Manchester, who says, progressives want to know, and I know you've kind of skirted the issue, Alex says, but will you support Representative Pelosi for Speaker if you win and the Democrats take the majority? Or will you support new progressive leadership? And if so, who? Now, it might be hard to say who at this point, but I have been asking other candidates this question, Democrats. Would they support Representative Pelosi as Speaker if they win?
This, to me, sounds like inside D.C. politics. And honestly, I'm really not focused on anything beyond September 11th, which is the date of the Democratic primary. So I'll have to, make the best decision possible for the people of the district at the point in time where I'm potentially involved in that situation. I think that there are a lot of new, exciting candidates running for Congress. There are younger voices in the caucus. And I would hope to see that whatever the leadership looks like after the November elections, it's going to include some of these new voices who represent the diverse not just of the Democratic Party, but of America.
Well, thank you for the email, Alex. And Councilor Pappas, we've run out of time. Thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
That's Chris Pappas, Democratic candidate for New Hampshire's 1st Congressional District. Now, our Race for the First series continues next week with Democrat Maura Sullivan. And then the following Monday, it's Republican Andy Sanborn. Check out the whole series on our website, nhpr.org, and watch past episodes on Facebook Live. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. Hey, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Please give us a review on iTunes to help other listeners find us. And thanks.